Everybody, I brought my closet with me today. I hope that's okay. My closet at home is not nearly as neat as this closet is, much to Brenda's chagrin. But anyway, we're going to talk about some stuff that's in my closet today. But I went to a baseball practice years ago, it was a beautiful day. It was early May. If you live in northern Michigan, you know how early May can be. And one, it was 75 degrees. It was incredible. So I got home, and I went to get my stuff on for baseball practice, and I pulled this out. This is my running stuff. My wife is really upset that I'm showing you my stuff here. But this is one of my tank tops and running shorts. And so I put those on, and I headed over to Bates Field. Anybody know where Bates Field is at here in town? Headed over to Bates Field, got there. I was about half hour before baseball practice was to start. I just wanted to go on a run. You know how it is? You've been through winter. It's like snow, rain, ice, cold. And it's like, it's 75 degrees. And it feels so good. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're all wanting that, aren't we? And so I got to baseball practice. I took a run. It just felt so good. I get to practice. The kids started to come. And as the kids were coming, the clouds started to come. Well, that's kind of weird. Anyway, so I, got out there, and it started to get a little cooler, because you know how it is when the sun's out and the clouds come, it kind of blocks the sun and all that good stuff. I was throwing some batting practice, and so I was still moving around, so I wasn't getting too cold. And then all of a sudden, the wind started to blow a little harder, and it started to get a little colder. And if you're from northern Michigan, you know what's happening, right? We call it a cold front. A cold front is coming through. And it wasn't like 15 minutes later. I mean, the wind is whipping and it is really cold. And guess what? It starts sleeting. And guess what I did? I went home. Why did I go home? Because I had the wrong clothes on. I had my running clothes on and it was cold. And so I bailed. I'm like, I'm out of here. You ever had a situation where you had the wrong clothes on? Anybody here ever had the wrong clothes on? Maybe your friends were playing in the mud puddle. And it's like, oh man, you want to play in the mud puddle. But you got your good clothes on. And you'll get into trouble if you play in the mud puddle. So you don't. You did a good job. You don't want mom upset with you getting all your clothes all messed up and dirty. Let's say, Dad, you get home from work. And, you got one thing to do. You got to get under the hood of the car and do something. And you're like, I got this white shirt on. Like, I can probably do it. Anybody ever done that before? It'll be all right. No harm, no foul. You pop it open and get on there and you do it. And then all of a sudden you look and, how did that get across there? And you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. Or you got invited to a party and you're kind of like, I wonder what I should wear, I wonder what people are going to wear. And you're like, I bet you it's going to be casual. Yeah, it's going to be casual. So guess what? You come in your jeans and you come in your t-shirt. And as you come in the door, guess what? Everybody's got dresses on and blazers. Has that ever happened to you before? Raise your hand. Well, why do you feel bad? Because you got the wrong clothes on. Okay? Now, here's something you may not know. If you follow Christ, if you're a Christian, God tells us to put the right clothes on. He tells us that in His Word. We're studying the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 3. We're going to read a little part of it right now. And we've been talking about being all in. And what we're going to talk about today is that part of being all in with God, not just half in, not just part way in, but all the way in, is putting the right clothes on. So I'm going to invite you to stand up, and I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read some of these verses here. Some may not be on the screen as I read, but, they are. It's up there. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off, special note here, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is God's Word. You can be seated. I want you to think about something this morning. I want you to think about what you have on right now, your clothes. And I want you to think about this: what you have on today, you chose to put on. You made the choice to wear whatever you have on. Now, I'm not making fun of you in any way. I'm just kind of stating something that's obvious, that what you have on is what you chose to put on. No one made you wear what you have on. Now, someone may have set something out for you to wear. That's happened to me before. Okay? But you chose to wear it. And God tells us in this passage to take off some kinds of clothes, some kinds of spiritual clothes, and put on some other kinds of clothes, some other kinds of spiritual clothes. This is what it says here. Take off, this is the key verse, take off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Okay? So we're to take something off. What are we supposed to take off? Well, I've got something up here with me. I've got a little tag. It says, the old ways. I'm going to put this on myself. You can see it right up there. We're to take off the old ways. The way we used to live before Christ. The tendencies that we used to have. We're to take those off. And how do we do that? How do we take them off? Well, this is the key part of the whole message. We have to take initiation. We have to initiate taking off the old ways. How do we do that? Well, for me, I do it this way. Always wanted to do that in front of a crowd. Uh-oh. I'm probably all tangled up now. All right. We've got to take off the old ways. We got to do something. We got to take a step. It doesn't just twinkle your nose and it happens, okay? So we got to take it off and we're going to sit it down there. Then what do we do? What's the next idea that's given? We got to put something on. We got to put on the new ways. And again, that takes initiation. It takes going to the closet and, what do I want to wear? How do I want my conduct to be today as we begin a day? We got to go to that closet and rummage around and, I know what I'm going to wear right here. This is what I want to wear. Look what it says. The new ways. I want to put on the new ways. All right? I'm going to put on the new ways. I'm going to put on the ways of Christ. I'm studying who Christ is. He's my example. and I want to put on His ways. Okay? So we're going to take something off. We're going to put something on. There's a historian. His name is Barclay is his last name. And he's got a commentary on Colossians. And it's pretty interesting. He's got some good points in it. But he talks about in the old days, way back in the early church, when someone got baptized. This is kind of a picture of baptism. When someone got in the water to get baptized, what they would do in the old days, he says, is they would go into the water with their old clothes on, and somehow they would, in the water, take their old clothes off. And then they would be baptized. And then as they came out of the water, they would get a glistening white robe, basically, to put on, representing now the new way to live. And so I just want to mention that at Easter time, we're going to actually have a baptism here during the two services. And maybe you're at that point where you're ready to make that step. You've trusted Christ, and it's time for you now in that kind of that symbolic way to take off the old and put the new on. But that's what they did. They got rid of one kind of clothes, and they put on the other kind of clothes. Now, the idea here is that's presented in the whole New Testament, and particularly here, is that this whole idea of taking off the old things and putting on the new things, it's a process. It's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's a process. And what it takes is it takes personal initiation, personal initiative. And then it also takes Christ's transformational power. It takes us to initiate, and it takes us to trust in Christ's ability, His power, His resurrection power to transform us. So it's a process to become like Christ. We've been studying this through this book. It's been very good theologically. When we understand that we're sinners and we need a Savior, we turn to Christ. He comes into our life. He saves us. He forgives us. And we are then counted a son in Christ, a daughter in Christ. It happens. It's positional. You are a daughter. You are a son when you trust Christ. But then there's this other aspect of being a Christian. It's becoming like Christ. And that doesn't happen overnight. That takes a process. It's a process to become Christ. Now, why? Why would we want to take part in the process? And so, again, that verse, it says, take off your old self. This verse 9 and 10, this is the key verses of the passage today. Take off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being, here it is, renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. That's the why. The what is, become like Christ. The what is, take the old stuff off and put on the new stuff. That's the what. The why is to become made in the image of your Creator. To become like Christ. That's the why. That's what the Christian life is all about. Okay? When we become a Christian, we trust Christ, and again, we're forgiven and made a son and a daughter. We're at the very beginning of a whole process, right? There's more to do. There's more for us to work through. It even says in the scripture in one part, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? But sometimes people think, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, I became a Christian. Now I'm saved and all this good stuff. And God's made me a son and a daughter. Now God can help me do what I'm trying to do in my life. You know, I'm trying to make $1 million, or I want my kid to make the baseball team, or you fill in the blank. And it's like, God, come help me. Someone's sick in my family. God, come and make them better. It's not wrong to pray that way, but that becomes the goal of our Christianity, is you, God, come help me do what I'm trying to do. And God says, nope. He says, nope. I want to make you into something. I want to make you after the image of Jesus Christ. But we, in order to do that, we got to take spiritual initiative. A disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, these are all synonymous words, but check this out. Someone who's in a process of surrendering. Everybody put their hands out like this. That's surrender. We use that for generosity, but generosity is really linked to surrender. It's like, I'm giving up my stuff. I'm giving up my will. I'm giving up who I am to be who you want me to be, God. Someone who's in a process of surrendering more and more of his or her life to the will and mission of God. That's what we're called to. That's what God wants to do with us. So today, let's look at these two ways that we can begin the process, that we can continue the process of becoming like Jesus Christ. So the first one, take off the old self. And then we'll look again at the next one here in just a few moments. Put on the new ways. Let's look at these a little more closely. So the first one here is take off the old ways. Well, what are the old ways? What are the old ways? Well, the old ways are sin. The old ways are rebellion. The old ways are doing it our way instead of God's way. In sin, we looked at this a few weeks ago. You can go back and listen to some of the talks if you've missed them. But sin is an act of rebellion against God, and it makes us enemies with God. It makes us alienated. Sin addicts us. We think, oh, I'm just going to do this, but it actually leads to addiction in our lives. It destroys us. The sins we make, we think it's fun, we think it's good, but it actually winds up destroying us. And so we got to take those old ways off. Christ came to free us from sin. Free us for a new life. And so in this passage, there are actually two lists of old ways. Two lists of old ways. The first list is sins against God. Now, all sin is against God, but particularly this first list lays out some specific rebellions, sins against God right here. So they are sexual immorality. This is verse 5. Sexual immorality, impurity, evil desires, and greed. And here's the telling statement, which is idolatry. You see, these sins are idolatry. Because what happens with these is, this is an idea of putting something above God. Like, I'm putting money above God. Money is more important to me than doing God's will, than doing God's way. Money is more, or materialism is more important. Or secondly, some people put their sexuality above God. And that's idolatry. It's putting something higher than God. So that's what idolatry is. If we make anything more important than God, those are two examples, but there's an ongoing list of many more. This is not a do the three things I say today and then you will be like Christ. It's what are the specific things you struggle with that need to be put down? Okay, so let's say you are wearing something. I'm going to go to my closet again. Can I go to my closet? Is that okay? All right, good. I'm going to go to my closet here. And let's say that you're wearing something. Let's say that you're wearing this right here. Now, how does this look on me as a follower of Christ? What do you think? Don't I look good in this? No. I don't. That doesn't jive with who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ. Greed doesn't jive. What is greed? Greed is intense, selfish desire. Okay? It's, it may be in regards to money, like I mentioned just a moment ago. It may be in regards to material possessions. It may be you want something that somebody else has. I mean, we call it covetousness as well, but it's greed. And does that look good on me? Is that in harmony? No, it's not in harmony. It doesn't jive with who I am. How do I know that? Because of this reason right here. I'm going to actually set this right down here. Now, how do I know that isn't something I should wear as a Christian? Because Jesus Christ was not greedy. Jesus Christ, he set aside heavenly position and he came to earth. He became poor so that we could what? Become what? Rich. Say it with me. Rich. Christ became poor so that we could become rich. That's a scripture. Okay, so it doesn't jive well. So Let me just say this. Your mommy doesn't pick out your spiritual clothes for you. Okay? Your mommy doesn't pick it out. You have to say, you know what? That's me. And it's wrong. It's idolatry. It's living in the way that I lived before I trusted Christ. And I need to take it off. I need to get rid of it. Okay, so the list too, there's a second list in there. There's actually three lists. Okay, so the second list is verse 8. It says, get rid of, and then it says anger and rage. Actually, these are two different kinds of anger. Rage is, you know it, you see it, they're mad, they're busting stuff. And then there's the other kind of anger where it's done with a smile on your face. You ever see that before? You know, it's just, but inside, they're bitter, they're angry. And so there's two kinds of anger there. So these are sins against other people. Malice, ill will towards someone. Slander, saying something false or derogatory. Here's one, filthy language. Lying, sins against other people. So let me go back to my closet. Let's say that this one's not a very nice to look at shirt because it's a painter shirt. But I've got potty mouth. Does this look good on me? As your pastor, if you're part of our church, would you be glad if I was sporting this around town? Of course you wouldn't be. It doesn't look good on me. It's not fitting. Swearing, lying, saying bad words. Loose with the truth. Okay? You know, you don't want to get into trouble, so you distort the truth. No. It's not fitting for you as a follower. Christ told the truth. And so we need to wear the right garments that go along with who we are in Jesus Christ. I also have this, I'm not going to do too much with this, but see this big Carhartt jacket. This is one of my favorite jackets right here. This thing is warm, I'm telling you, right here. My wife got this for me at a yard sale for 10 bucks or something. And it's great. For wearing, you know, when it's cold out and stuff like that. And, you know, it's appropriate for certain climates, but not at the beach in July. Okay, this is not appropriate for our spiritual climate as followers of Christ. And so we want to set it down there. We want to get it out of there. So let's say you struggle with one of these or another one. That is a sin against other people. We may not have mentioned it. Again, there's an ongoing list. But you may struggle. You may struggle greatly with this. And it's not easy to take those things off. It's hard to stop. So what do we do? So there's a little idea that's given early on in the passage. And it says this. It says that we need to put these things to death. So what we don't do is we don't take them off and put them back in our closet for another day. You know, you ever put something like, you know, this might fit later? Raise your hand. Have you ever done that? So you put it back in here. You'll get, you know, once you lose some weight or whatever, you'll put it back on. But we don't know. What do we do with these? We put them to death. How do you put something to death? You got to burn it up. So we got a big bonfire. We won't do it today. But we throw that in a bonfire and we burn it up. What does that mean to put to death? It means to take extreme measures. I've got to act on this. I've got to make this. I've got to take this out of my life. And so like if it's a sexual issue, it's getting the appropriate accountability in your life. Someone that maybe can see your screen time. That you can voluntarily do that with so that you can put it to death. You can put it down. Those are the example. That's the main example that's given there. Okay? So we want to get it out of our closet. We want to burn it up and take extreme measures. So we've looked at this. We've looked at take off the old ways. Now let's look at the second part of this. Put on the new ways. Put on the new you in Christ. And again, take initiative. We got to choose. We got to go to the closet. What do I want to wear? So we've talked about taking off greed. All right. So what do we want to put on instead? So I've got this nice white shirt. It says, It says thankful. Be thankful. Instead of greed. No, I'm not going to wish I had what they have. That's the old way. I'm going to take that off. And instead, I'm going to be thankful. As a matter of fact, in the passage, it says it a couple different times. It's kind of emphasized. Well, what does that mean? It means to be like grateful for what you already have. Like, look at all that God has blessed me with. Look at what, maybe I don't have a new car, but I have a car that functions. Look at all the wonderful things that I have in my life because God has entrusted them to me. He's generously given those to me. And when we're able to realize that and kind of work through that, that allows us to be thankful. That allows us to wear this around. So we're not, you know, someone that always kind of is around other people with a victim mentality. Like, I don't have that and I don't have what I want. Okay, so when we take off the potty mouth, what do we put on? Well, I've got something else in my closet here. It's a compassion. It says, clothe yourself with compassion. So we want to put on compassion. And well, what does that mean? When we're using a potty mouth, we're putting people down maybe. Using coarse language, telling dirty jokes. We might be on a, I know there's some guys here that you work on job sites, and I know I've been on job sites. It can get pretty coarse out there. And so you begin to lower yourself to that. And like Christ's like, no, take that off. Instead, put on compassion. Which means this, instead of deriding someone or getting after someone, trying to understand them, where they're coming from, what pain they have in their lives. That's what Christ did. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, that he saw the crowds and his heart broke for them. He saw them as harassed and helpless, like sheep, not having a shepherd. And so putting on compassion means realizing humans have dignity and people are suffering around us. It may be different things than what you're suffering with, and let it touch your heart. So this morning, what do you need to take off? What do you need to, what are you wearing that it doesn't look good on you? It's not in coordination with who you are in Jesus Christ. And what do you need to put on? What do you need to intentionally put on in your life? Now, some of us here this morning, you've been thinking about this before, like what you need to take off and what you need to put on, and you've given it some thought, and quite honestly, you just don't believe you can overcome the sin that's besetting you, the struggles that you're having. It's sort of like the old clothes are stuck on you, you know. Have you ever go to bed with your clothes on and then you wake up with clothes on? Anybody ever fallen asleep and it's like, oh, I got my clothes on already? And it's kind of like that, like you go to bed and it's like then you get up and those old things are on and they're stuck on you. And what do you do with that? How do you deal with that? You might say, I've tried to change and I can't change. And what we can do is we can look at Christ, who we've been studying in this whole series, we can look at Christ with a sort of religious superiority. That, Christ is great, Christ can do some things and what have you, but He can't save me. He can't change me. He can't transform my life. And so we're like, I'm too bad. You don't know how bad I am, Christ. And so we kind of look at Christ with that sort of superiority. My difficulties are too difficult for you. And what we've done is we've forgotten what we've been learning throughout this whole book, that Christ is supreme. He is on the throne, and He can do anything. He can change you, and He wants to change you. He's the Almighty One, and if He says He can do it, He can do it. We need to believe. We need to trust, and we need to cooperate. We need to take initiative. There's a guy named Oswald Chambers. He lived like 100 years ago, but he's written a book that maybe some of you have seen before, but he's got a quote in one of the, it's a daily kind of devotional. In one of the days, it talks about taking spiritual initiative. And it says this, it says, God doesn't give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. He doesn't just give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we take initiative. as we take the step, as we take spiritual initiative. This is not human initiative. This is not under your power. Well, there's no way I can do that. No, this is spiritual initiative, which is like, I'm going to do something and I'm going to trust Christ has the power to change me. That's what spiritual initiative is. Is that a step you need to take today? Do you need to be fueled by His resurrection power by admitting that you need Him and admitting that He can do what you need in your life? Here's our next steps for today. The first one, it's pretty obvious. What do you need to put to death? What do you need to get out of your closet? You know, you ever go through the closet like, oh, this doesn't fit me anymore. You know, got to get rid of that. You know, I'm going to send that over there. What do you need to get rid of? Let's write it down. Let's come forward. We'll have a prayer team up here in just a moment. Let's come up and pray about it. And then secondly, what attire do you need to be wearing? You know, what do you need to shop for? What do you need to wear? I want to ask you to stand up. We're going to take just a couple moments here to just meditate on this. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it guides us, it directs us, no matter where we are in our lives. And we can trust you. We can trust you with the things that are out of our control. May your name be glorified as we desire to trust you more and to put to practice what your word has told us. I pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.